Is the Proverbs 31 woman primarily a prescription of how to become a better wife, mother, woman, or friend? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. There are two big images of Christ that predominate in Christendom. Some confessions of faith emphasize one over the other. I would like to think that the Lutheran Confession of Faith emphasizes both kind of wrapped up together in one another. One is Christ crucified. That is the crucifix. Christ dead on the cross. That is what a crucifix is. That's not Jesus sleeping or resting. That is Jesus having breathed his last. The other, from a distance, kind of looks like it. But the closer you get, you realize it's remarkably different. That image is Christ the victor, or Christus victor. We actually have one of these in the congregation where I serve. There's a cross. Christ is on it. Or he's over it, but he is the Christ who is enthroned in glory, crowned with glory, and extending his hands in blessing to the people from the cross. Christ, the crucified and the victorious. Actually, his crucifixion is his victory. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Easter Monday. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., Aaron Wolf will be talking about natural law, making the case for it from the 2017 Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio show called Thy Strong Word, and author of the books Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you on Easter Monday.
This image that is very strong, especially in the Eastern Church, Christus Victor, what is it and why is it so appropriate for both the Easter season and for the Easter hymns we sing?
Well, it is not only popular in the East, it really is just very popular throughout the entire patristic period. And you can see it really shine in Luther's Easter sermons. It was his favorite way to preach the resurrection. And if you can picture it this way, with Christ the victim, the whole point being that he is propitiating wrath. He's propitiating the divine wrath against human sin, okay? The picture of Christus Victor is Christ whom the Father sends into the flesh precisely so that he can defeat the enemies of the human race. He's the great warrior striding onto the field, the heroes. Now, you pointed it out correctly, and Walter's going to do it in the hymn too. The way that both of these images meet is that on the cross is how he wallops the enemy. He wallops the enemy by suffering defeat and humiliation and no one in the evangelist sees this as clearly as St. John. So throughout the Gospel of John, you have Jesus talk about the hour of his glory. And it's really clear that the hour of his glory in his mind is the moment that he's lifted up from the earth, bearing the sins of the world as the Lamb of God. This is how he will trounce the enemies of the human race. But this image of God on our side, God for you, fighting your enemies to deliver you, that's the image that runs through this hymn, and it really is a big theme of any decent Easter preaching.
So we often talk about the biblical themes or the biblical roots of these hymns. This one seems to have some obvious ones in the resurrection text, but it also has many others, doesn't it?
Yeah, it evokes a lot of them, and one of the things that we're going to find as we work our way through it is that the English and is actually quite a loose rendering of what C.F.W. Walther actually wrote. And so I would actually like to treat both aspects, with the hymns that we have, the version of the hymn that we have in front of us in English, and my very wooden translation of what Walther originally penned. And I think that we'll see they both help us opening up a lot. For example, you might have noticed, and maybe you were thinking, when you look at that first verse, the first stanza, he's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He opened death's prison, the incarnate true word. You don't hear a language like that and not immediately go, oh, John chapter 1. Yeah. And we in the West, we tend to think of John chapter 1 as something we associate with the incarnation, with Christmas time. It is significant that in the Eastern half of Christendom, the text is primarily associated with Easter. It's the light that no darkness can overcome. That darkness is the darkness of death, as well as the darkness of sin. So, that's certainly running there. You hear the language, I mean, when you hear about opening death's prison, all of these images of the pit that you have throughout the entire Old Testament. He's going to free your prisoners from the pit. This is the picture of death. It's this thing you can fall into, but you can't climb out of. It's a true prison that way. His invocation there at the end comes closest to what Walther actually had there. Break forth, host of heaven, in jubilant song, and earth, sea, and mountain. You remember the peon prolong, their praises prolong. This call for all of creation to join in the celebration of what Christ did via his suffering, death, and his resurrection from the dead. If you go to church on the day before Easter, the night of before Easter, you go to the great vigil of Easter, you're going to hear this call for all of the creation to get in on the celebration. But the language that Walther used originally in the hymn, it should, well, let me read you his original words. Arisen, arisen is Christ Jesus. Rejoice, all that is on earth. Celebrate heaven with all your host. Leap, all you mountains, and roar, O sea. Lord, have mercy. Now, he, as Walther originally wrote the hymn, every stanza ends with the Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, just like Luther's great Easter hymn originally had at the end of every stanza, Kyrie eleison. So he's writing in that old German way of writing, which is a beautiful thing. I think it's a shame that in English now that always gets morphed over to hallelujah. But do you hear, leap up you mountains, roar, O sea? This is the images that you have from like Psalm 98 and from, again, a psalm that we associate with Christmas, but here's associated with Easter, and a psalm like 114, which is really significant. This is, you know, the mountains are jumping like around like lambs, and the little hills like crazy. What's the matter with you? Because the Lord is bringing his people out, and it's the Passover image. So Walther's actually evoking Passover in the way that he describes it. There's a cause of joy here that's this big that all of creation needs to get in on it.
What would you say briefly about the author you've mentioned here, C.F.W. Walther?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I just sort of assumed that. C.F.W. Walther is sort of the, we would call him the Renaissance man of the Missouri Synod at its beginning. He was the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He was the president of the seminary, a professor at the seminary, a pastor of, what was it, a five big parishes
at one point
in St. Louis.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, it's insane. Editor of Der Lutheraner, the predecessor thing to what we call Lutheran Witness today. And all this in a day when there were no nice little computers to get your work done on. And he traveled around the country, and you know he's here in they arrive here in what, 1836, 30 something like that, 37. They arrive here, and he in St. Louis. So they are in what was then the Wild West, and he's works very hard to assemble German immigrants and help the form of the Lutheran Church be established here. I mean, it's frontier conditions, and he wanted to make sure that the people of God here were not without the gifts of God's word and the sacrament. So he worked very, very hard on that. And he is not, it's important to remember, he's not just then a church organizer. He's also a theological professor. He's not just a theological professor. He's also an editor. He writes beautiful things. He's a powerful preacher and wrote many sermons. You can get God Granted as a collection of excerpts from his sermons that are just outstanding. And he was a musician. His congregation loved it when occasionally he would play for them. And he could play both organ and sing. And this hymn, he wrote both the text and the tune. And by the way, can we take a little time out on the tune?
Sure. It sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, you mentioned that dear professor of ours, this was not his favorite hymn. And why did a lot of people not like it? They hear the opening cadences of the hymn. Dun, 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 dun. And they go, Hey, that's like what we learned in school. Do, 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 do. It sounds like, oh, my darling Clementine. Well, here's the good news for you people loved by God. C.F.W. Walther wrote this hymn in 1860 as he was on a voyage crossing the Atlantic to go back and visit Germany. And according to good old trusty Wikipedia, Oh My Darling Clementine is an American Western ballad in trochaic meter. That's the trochaic meter is what you're hearing there. Yeah. That really drives the war sense of the song, too. And it's usually credited to Percy Montrose in 1884. C.F.W. Walther's piece actually predates Oh My Darling Clementine, but they grow from the same ilk, if you will.
The same genre of music.
And it happens all the time that songs that are totally not related end up sounding like each other. A really famous one that happened in the 20th century. Very popular hymn in Roman Catholic and some other churches is Here I Am, Lord, which it's all going fine till you get to the chorus. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. And if you're not careful, you're going to switch into Who Is Bringing Up Three Very Lovely Boys. You know, I mean, it's just like it's the Brady Bunch song. It just goes exactly into it. The cadence is the same as all. It's just it evokes it. But C.F.W. Walther wanted to write a hymn that I think was very accessible to people. And it was easy to sing right from the get-go. It's a very easy to sing hymn. But it celebrates this triumph of Christ as a joy into which all of the creation is summoned to participate. And in that, it's simply of a piece with the liturgy. I mean, the liturgy of Easter is one huge call. We have joy here that is so big that all of this creation needs to get on sharing it with us.
Here is the first stanza. He's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He opened death's prison, the incarnate true word. Break forth hosts of heaven in jubilant song, and earth, sea, and mountain their praises prolong.
He's risen, he's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He opened death's prison, the incarnate true word. Break forth hosts of heaven in jubilant song.
That's the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen. Pastor Whedon, he opens death's prison. I think that's a largely unutilized image of, it's an Old Testament image of death.
Yeah, it is. You know that one of my favorite ways to preach about the resurrection is to talk about how death is a monster that eats up, you know, right? And how it eats Christ and he punches a hole through it. And from its stinking gullet, he emerges alive and he brings with him then those whom death has eaten. This picture is throughout the fathers. It's just a beautiful, beautiful image. And that idea of death as the beast that eats you up is the same thing as death as the prison from which you cannot get out, but which he bursts open. He knocks it open. This is the beauty of the open tomb. It's not that the tomb is empty. It's that the tomb is open. There's a way out. There's a way through death. And that way is Jesus.
One other question on this before we take our break. You mentioned before calling all of creation to join in these praises. And I think the reason for that is not just to have extra voices in the choir. It's because there's a new creation all creation.
Amen. Amen. I'm so glad you pointed that out. Second Corinthians, right? Second Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This creation itself groans as it waits for this redemption, Romans 8, that will come to the children of God. But it is the entire creation that's going to be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption. And this longing for what the New Testament calls the new heavens, well, actually the Old Testament too, the new heavens and the new earth. This is what this hymn is celebrating. It's like, creation, hang tight. You've got a Savior too. He's going to save us all from all the consequences of sin in this world.
Here is stanza 2, and on the other side of the break, we will hear it and talk about it with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen. The foe was triumphant when on Calvary the Lord of creation was nailed to the tree. In Satan's domain did the hosts shout and jeer, For Jesus was slain, whom the evil ones fear. On the other side of the break, that second stanza of the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen, we'll talk about it with Pastor Will Wheaton.
People have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for Godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Stanza 2 of the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the book Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. You can purchase these books by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. We need to do a little surgery on the translation. Walther's words are fantastic, but the translation doesn't just botch this a little bit. It really gives a distinctly heretical impression.
Yeah, I mean, I have to confess that I am shocked that this actually made it through doctrinal review. The foe was not triumphant on Calvary. That is just simply not true. It is the Lord who is triumphant on Calvary. What Walther wrote was, the enemy triumphed over Calvary. Hell intoned victory because the power of darkness had finally brought the Prince of Life to the cross. Lord have mercy. So the picture that's actually painted there is of Satan being very mistaken in his glee. It's not a statement that he won. It's a statement that, oh my goodness, he
thinks he's won.
He thinks he's won. This is... It's vital that we don't have the picture in our head. Satan won on Good Friday, but Jesus got the final say and won on Easter. That is not the picture the Bible paints. He triumphs over him in the cross. He triumphs over his enemies. So the image that Walther puts up here, though, of Satan being mistaken, is something that the church has sung about for a long time. There is a beautiful hymn called Again to Paradise by St. Romanus the Melodist that sort of picks up on it. And if it's okay, I want to sort of run through this. It informs, it shows you how Walter's hymn is of a piece with this whole way of thinking. Pilate fixed up three crosses on Golgotha, two for the thieves, one for the giver of life. And when hell saw it, he said to those below, "My ministers and powers, who has fixed a nail in my heart? A wooden lance has suddenly pierced me. I'm being torn apart. My insides are in pain. My belly is in agony. My senses make me tremble. I'm compelled to disgorge Adam and Adam's race. All men were given to me by the garden's tree, but now a tree is bringing them back again to paradise." But when he heard this, Satan, the cunning serpent, ran crawling and said, "What is it, hell? Why do you groan for no reason? Why produce these wailings? This tree at which you tremble, I carpentered up there for Mary's child. I suggested it to his enemies for our advantage. It's to a cross that I've nailed Christ, wishing by a tree to do away with the second Adam, just like I did with the first. Don't be afraid. It's dry and barren. It won't harm you. Keep hold of all those you have. Of those we rule, not one will escape again to paradise." And hell replies to Satan, "You have lost your senses, you the cunning snake of old. All your wisdom has been swallowed up by the cross, and you've been caught in your own snare. Lift up your eyes and see that you have fallen into the pit you dug. Behold, that tree, which you call dry and barren, it bears fruit. A thief tasted it and has become heir to the good things of Eden. Moses' rod led the people out of Egypt, but this tree brings mankind back again to paradise." Satan answered, "Wretched hell, cease this cowardly talk. Your words reveal your thoughts. Are you afraid of a cross and of the crucified? Not one of your words has shaken me. These deeds are part of my plan. I will also open a grave and entomb Christ so that you may enjoy your cowardice doubly, from his tomb as well as from his cross. When I see you, I will mock you. For when Christ is buried, I will come to you and say, 'And who now brings Adam back again to paradise?' Then hell spoke back, 'Now is the moment for you to listen, Satan. Now you'll see the power of the cross and the authority of the crucified. For you, the cross is folly, but the world sees it as a throne on which, as though seated, Jesus is nailed. And here's the thief cry to him, 'Lord, remember me in your kingdom.' Listen now as he answers kingly, 'Today, poor beggar, you will reign with me, for with me you will go again to paradise.' At these words, Satan began to wilt at what he heard and saw, a thief witnessing to Christ crucified. And so amazed, he struck his breast and said, 'Christ didn't answer his accusers, yet he speaks to a thief. To Pilate he never said a word, but now he addresses a murderer, saying, "Come live in pleasure." What is this? Who has seen words or deeds done by this thief by means of which he goes again to paradise?" It goes on, but I mean, this huge battle between these two that is just really fun. He's like, "Satan, you really blew this. You thought you were triumphing. Hell is triumphing." They thought, "Oh, this is it." But it was their defeat. And wow, powerfully expressed in Walter's hymn. And in the English, if you're singing the English and you're troubled by that, just hear, "The foe was triumphing," went on Calvary. It's not that he was triumphant. He was never triumphant in this, but he thought he had the victory. That's the intent of the stanza.
Here is stanza 3. "But short was their triumph. The Savior arose, and death, hell, and Satan, he vanquished his foes. The conquering Lord lifts his banner on high. He lives, yes, he lives, and will never more die."
But short was their triumph.
Stanza 3 of "He's Risen, He's Risen." Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Pastor Whedon, I have two questions, one for before and one after the break, on this particular stanza. The emphasis here is short was their triumph, or their seeming triumph was short, and it really is very short. The Creed tells us that Christ, having died, descends to hell and declares his triumph.
Yeah.
He doesn't even wait 3 days.
Yeah, no, you get... Do you remember how in the Passion of the Christ, I think Mel Gibson absolutely nailed this, that it's at the moment of his death that you have this picture of Satan wailing in hell. as, you know, it's the death itself that he realizes as soon as it happens, he's done for. And you know, whenever we deal with the descent, and this hymn, by the way, is a perfect hymn for covering the doctrine of the descent into hell. The big thing we want to stress is Jesus goes into hell as triumphing king, as victor. We would say he goes to kick posterior and take no prisoners. Well, he does take prisoners, but he goes to triumph. He is not going there in any way to suffer. And that's something that he Walther does get with this. Can I give real quick the literal?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yet in spite of you, you hell, and in spite of you, O world, the prince of salvation held the field. Hardly had 3 days passed when your prisoner was set loose and freed. Lord have mercy. And that set loose and freed runs with the way that some of the fathers would hear in Psalm 88, that free among the dead is the way that in the way that 88, Psalm 88, 5 pictures it, it's like, you know, I'm let loose among the dead, free among the dead. But Christ freed among the dead, literally one forever freed from death, but now among the dead. That is the picture that descended to hell.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest on this Easter Monday. We are studying the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, host of a radio show called Thy Strong Word, and author of the books Celebrating the Saints and Thanks, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. We'll be right back to talk a little bit more about stanza 3.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Because Christ-centered preaching matters. Because His Word does accomplish that which He purposes. Because hanging out with like-minded Lutherans is important. Hi, I'm Alicia Herman, member of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I invite you to Redeemer. I particularly appreciate Redeemer as a church where God's grace enables us to see that our justification depends not on our performance, but solely on Christ's performance. If you're looking for a Lutheran oasis, where in a changing culture, the message stays the same, visit us in Fort Wayne or at redeemer-fortwayne.org.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen, looking at stanza 3. One other question on the stanza before we move on, and that is, now this is in the English translation. Again, we're dealing with kind of disparity between the two. The English translation ends with, He lives, yes, He lives, and will nevermore die. That's something I find emphasized a lot in the New Testament. It's not just that He's alive again. Mm-hmm. It is that He will never die again. Death cannot die. Death could not and death cannot hold him. This kind of seal of the resurrection is Christ's ongoing eternal life.
Incorruption. And yes. This is really vital if you're going to get the difference between what happens with Jesus and what happens with the people that he, quote, raises from the dead. They are raised from the dead. They are not resurrected. Their flesh is not changed and made incorruptible. That's why when St. Paul talks about what will happen at the parousia, the appearing of Christ, he describes it as the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, those who are still alive at the time, will be changed. We will be changed. Changed how? Changed in order to be made incorruptible. Actually, I also want to pick up in the English. It's not in the German, but it borrows from something Luther said. The conquering Lord lifts his banner on high. The conquering Lord and his banner. It evokes Luther's very famous Torgau sermon, where he dealt with the descent into hell. He writes, "It's customary to represent Christ in paintings on walls as he descends, appears before hell, clad in a priestly robe." The Christ that you mentioned, Christus Victor, mm-hmm. Victor on your cross.
He's wearing
the priestly garments, the stuff that you wear to celebrate the Eucharist. Priestly robe with a banner in his hand with which he beats the devil and puts him to flight, takes hell by storm and rescues those that are his. Thus, it was also acted the night before Easter as a play for children. And I am well pleased with the fact that it is painted, played, sung, and said in this manner for the benefit of simple people. Such, therefore, is the plainest manner to speak of this article, that we may adhere to the words and cling to this main point, that for us, through Christ, hell has been torn to pieces, and the devil's kingdom and power utterly destroyed, for which purpose he died and was buried and descended, so that it should no longer harm or overwhelm us, as he himself says in Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. So a picture of the banner and of Christ with his banner triumphing. And you notice sometimes in the art of the church, the victim and the victor language meet together so that it's a lamb with the blood pouring out of him, with the victory banner holding in his arms.
It's a unity of those two
it's
images.
It's the two themes. Yeah, it's like he triumphs by the gift of himself into death, suffering and death.
Here's stanza 4. Oh, where is your sting, death? We fear you no more. Christ rose, and now open is fair Eden's door. For all our transgressions his blood does atone. Redeemed and forgiven, we now are his own. Now we're in 1 Corinthians 15 territory, aren't we?
Yeah, when you have the sting of death. You know, I love the difference between, I'm going to see if I can get this right. You biologists, have mercy on me if I get it reversed. The difference between a wasp and a bee. The wasp has that stinger. It stings repeatedly, right? Mm-hmm. But the bee, when it stings, it dies. If it leaves its stinger in, it dies. In this image, Satan is much more like the bee. The sting of death gets stuck into Christ and he can't pull it out. And because of that, his power literally drains away and dies. Oh, death, where is your sting? I just love that image.
we do not fear death. That's something that is, that's a tough one. You
it
know,
is.
If you've got parishioners who are nearing death, you can see it in their faces.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them face death with great serenity and joy, but sometimes there's fear there too.
Yeah, and I think that it's helpful to remember when the church sings hymns like this, she's singing out of her faith of what shall be. You do the same thing. Do you like the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart?
Yeah.
How can you sing a lie like that?
Well, it's singing out of faith.
Ah, okay. Because you don't love him with all your heart. You know that. You confess that when you make the confession of sins, right?
Absolutely.
But we sing that in faith, because this is where we will be. This is when he's done with us, this is where we will be. And when we stand on that last day in our resurrected bodies, that's the perspective from which we're singing in this hymn. We're giving death a chorus of what it's going to be like when it hears us standing alive forever in Christ, with Christ, before the throne of God.
And we are allowed to sing those songs in advance.
Oh, absolutely. The whole life of the church is to literally live from that future which is coming. And we live from it as a present reality now, a gift to us now, not something that we own in and of ourselves, but something which God always reaches for us to participate in. And notice how, you know, that points ahead, but this also points backwards. Now open is Fair Eden's door. Again, this is not really in Walther, but the idea is very clear there that what Christ did was to restore paradise, as we heard in the thing by Romanus the Melodist. He restores paradise to us. The cool thing is when people have reflected on this, theologians reflect on this, they go, you know what? He brought us higher than we ever fell. It's not just that he brings you back to where you were at the beginning. He brings you higher than we could ever dream of being. Who could have guessed at the beginning that God would end up being our brother and would love us so much as to shed his own blood on the tree of the cross so that we could be his and belong to him forever? Who would have guessed that in Eden? And so this beautiful picture of paradise restored, but more. Notice, for all our transgressions, his blood did atone. I love that. That is a major theme of C.F.W. Walther and all of his preaching and teaching. He doesn't pay for some of your sins and leave you some to answer for on your own. No, they all are answered for, every last bit, so that you, now redeemed and forgiven, you're his own. Is it okay to move? Here's the point at which I would invite to actually let us listen to the rest of what Walther wrote. The stanza that we just heard, plus the stanzas that don't appear in English, to get the full feel of the hymn. Okay?
This is the time to do it, before the last stanza.
Where is now your sting, O form of death? Where is now your victory, O power of hell? Where is now, O sin, your power? Where is now, O law, your curse and imprisonment? Lord have mercy. Willingly did the eternal Son become man. Willingly did he leave his heavenly throne. Willingly did he suffer piercing and agony. Willingly did he mount the pole of the cross. Lord have mercy. With sorrow he bears man's guilt, patiently atones their transgressions with death, drains for them the cup of wrath, and endures for them the horrors of hell. Lord have mercy. Yet behold, no death or grave could ever hold him. He comes from the battlefield as victor, destroying eternally death's land. And Satan is left powerless, lying in chains and shackles. Lord, have mercy. He is the law's fulfillment. And so the eternal wrath is stilled. So is he then who ransomed us free and stands as the head of all the earth. Lord, have mercy. Drum on! Be joyful, you sinful man. Through Christ's resurrection, you're justified. As your sins were dumped into his grave, so now his pure life you receive. And then he goes to the last stanza. So, I mean,
there's a lot there that hasn't made the cut.
There's a lot there. And each of these things is so vital. The willingly, I mean, he chooses, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. Willingly did he mount the pole of the cross. He does this, of his own will. And then the description of what he's actually carrying there. He's carrying our guilt. He's atoning our transgression. He's draining the cup of wrath. He endures the horrors of hell. It's like image after image after image you have to go to describe the enormity of what he's doing there. And then as black and awful as that might be, then comes, and yet there's nothing. Death wasn't going to hold him. The grave can't hold him. He comes from the battlefield as a victor. This is images from Isaiah. Who is this who comes from Edom? His raiment is stained in blood. And then you have this picture of Satan chained and locked. And I don't know if you've seen it or not, but sometimes in the iconography of the church, you'll see the crucifixion. And at the bottom of the crucifix, you might see, at the very bottom, you'll see Satan with the chains around his arms and hands, literally bound up by what Christ has accomplished on the tree. This is the stronger man binding the strong man. It's all there in his piece. And then I just love that because he's completely fulfilled what the law demanded of us. What the law demanded of all human beings, he has fulfilled. He has done it. And so there is no wrath. And we are ransomed and we are free in him. He's in charge of everything now. He stands as the head of all the earth. And this drum on, this just cracked me up because I love drums. It's a picture of, again, war. This is war. And it's the victory, the drum of victory. We have won. So you can triumph over the resurrection. Like Satan tried to triumph over the cross. You triumph in the resurrection of Christ. Your sins are gone, dumped in his grave. And his life dumped into you. I love it. And it's just a powerful hymn.
Stanza 5. Then sing your hosannas and raise your glad voice. Proclaim the blessed tidings that all may rejoice. Laud, honor, and praise to the Lamb that was slain. With Father and Spirit he ever shall reign. What are your thoughts on this stanza?
Again, I'm going to just go back to his original words to help us get the feel for what we have there in the English. The Lord is arisen. The grave is empty. The army, the host, the multitude of your sins have passed away. So rejoice, everybody who's called a sinner, and praise Father, Son, and Spirit. Lord, have mercy. As so many of the church's stanzas do at the end, it brings us to this unending worship of the Blessed Trinity. Through Christ, we come to the Father in the Spirit. And I like that even though Walther doesn't in the original German evoke the image of the Lamb, you can't hear Lamb that was slain and reign, Father and Spirit, and not hear all the triumphant songs out of the book of Revelation. Revelation really is like the church's Easter book. I was recently told that when Dr. Brighton comments on the hymns in Revelation, he really says it's one hymn. It runs from start to finish, all those sections, and it's the hymn of Christ's triumph and victory. That's what it's all about. And this little piece by Walther, it participates in that. It invites us into it and lets us have that song of Christ's victory as our own. As you very helpfully pointed out, we're doing it by way of practice. This is what we'll be. This is where we're headed. And the church sings it now to help us get there.
When we come back, we're going to hear the entire hymn and get Pastor Will Whedon's thoughts on He's Risen, He's Risen. That's the subject of our hymn study with Pastor Will Whedon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
We like our crosses full and our tombs empty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts the radio program called Thy Strong Word. He's author of the book Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. We cover the joys of piety. He's also going to be leading the hymn sing and making the case for godliness at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, about 15 miles east of downtown St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. You can find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org. Well, let's get your final thoughts after we hear the entire Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen.
Oh,
That's the Easter hymn, He's Risen, He's Risen. Will, your final thoughts on this hymn?
Sing your hosannas and raise your glad voice to proclaim the blessed tidings that all may rejoice. Today, I got to speak to a reporter who's doing an article on the Easter Vigil, of all things, being introduced in a parish down in Arkansas. And it was kind of sad talking to the reporter. It finally occurred to me, I'm like, can I ask what faith you are? And it ended up being a religion editor, but she is none. She didn't have any. It's like, how do you begin to explain Easter Vigil to somebody who doesn't even understand what the Christian faith is? So we had to begin with, to borrow that phrase from Swirla, well, you know, it goes back to this, the dead Jew rose. And I talked to her a little bit about how Nietzsche had said, well, you Christians, you lost the world when you lost your joy. And that the thing about Easter and Easter Vigil is that it is the fountain from which all joy flows out into the world. This hymn captures this Easter joy and proclaims it and invite, you know, you don't actually enjoy something until you say to somebody else, you got to try this. And that's what this hymn does at the end. It's like, you know, this is too good. This joy is too great. Look, in Jesus, you have forgiveness bigger than all the world's sin. In Jesus, you have death that has been triumphed over by life. There is no death inside of you that's bigger than the life inside of him. In fact, the life inside of him is bigger than the death in all the world. And this we get to proclaim on Easter. The hymn summons us, invites us into that, and encourages us to open our mouths and proclaim it to one another, which we always forget that's one of the big things hymns are for. Easter is not just about the pastor preaching the resurrection of Christ. Easter is about a community preaching the resurrection of Christ. We all, in the hymns, the readings, in the sermon, we all proclaim, Jesus really is risen from the dead, and this is the source of your eternal joy. The one who was raised from the dead is the one who bore all your sins to death. He has bled over them. They are forgiven. They are gone. And you have a life with him that cannot end. This is the gift given you in baptism. It's the gift continually poured down your throat when you come to the Eucharist. It's the gift that he plants into your ears with promises of a life that does not end.
Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts the radio program called Thy Strong Word, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints and his latest, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Will, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
LCMS Worship has produced some free devotional and worship resources. Check them out at lcms.org/worship. LCMS Worship, nurturing a culture and love of Lutheran heritage in Christian worship. lcms.org/worship. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Easter Monday, we will hear Aaron Wolf making the case for natural law from the 2017 Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Jesus' victory over death is his death. This is why the two images of Christ as victim and Christ as victor must always go together. This is why the cross is at the center of both of those images, whether it is Christ hanging dead, victorious over death, or Christ reigning in priestly robes, bearing the banner of his victory before his enemies and through his church before the world. Those two images always go together, and what they have in common is his cross, is his suffering and death for a world of sinners, wherein he by death conquered death, and by his resurrection brings light and immortality to light. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.